بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآت المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب وأقام الصلاة وآت الزكاة والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون صدق الله العظيم. Honorable Ulama Kiram, Huffaz of the Holy Quran, respected elders, dear brothers and young friends in Islam. It is a requirement that every Muslim, every mu'min should strive to achieve piety, righteousness, or what is generally called dindari in a person's life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in numerous places in the Holy Quran has expounded the concept of righteousness, piety, dindari. In this ayat of the Quran that I have recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expounds the concept of righteousness in a very beautiful and encompassing and comprehensive manner. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains what is not righteousness and piety. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains what is righteousness and piety. The negation of what is not piety and then the affirmation of what is piety. So that we understand clearly and there are no misconceptions or misgivings in our minds about the real concept of piety or righteousness that is desired by the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayat of the Holy Quran, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Piety and righteousness is not to turn your face in the direction of the east or the west. Which can be summarized in this way, that piety is not simply holding on to certain outward aspects of deen, holding on to certain limited aspects of deen, and considering that to be piety and righteousness, that is not piety and righteousness. If a person holds on to one aspect of Islam and he's content in his mind and is quite happy that what I am doing, this is piety and righteousness, and that is the be-all and end-all of piety and righteousness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negates that. And Allah explains and expounds further on what is the real concept of piety and righteousness. To understand this, Maulana Rumi rahmatullah alayh gave a beautiful example in some other context, but it is very applicable to the understanding of the concept of piety and righteousness. Maulana Rumi rahmatullah alayh gave an example that there was once of three or four blind men, and a person, a friend of theirs, took them along to the circus. And at the circus, there were various animals. So he took them along and he was describing the various animals and he brought them to the elephant. And he made them feel the animal, the elephant, so that they could get a feel and understanding of what the elephant is. So they were, each one of them held a different part of the elephant and each one had his own understanding of the concept of the elephant. One person caught hold of the tail of the elephant. One person caught hold of the leg of the elephant. Another person caught hold of the ear of the elephant. One person caught hold of the tusk of the elephant. Now each one had his own understanding of the elephant. When they started discussing, they had a terrible argument amongst themselves. The person who caught the tail, he said, the elephant is an animal that is short and it's curved and very soft. The person who caught the tusk, he said, no, you are wrong. The elephant is very hard and it's bent. Person who caught the leg said, no, you are wrong. The elephant is round like a pillar, upright. Person who caught the ear, he said, no, all of you are wrong. The elephant is round like, and it feels like a leaf of a, like a giant leaf of a tree. And they argued amongst themselves until the person with vision and sight told them that, oh my friends, all of you have got it wrong. Not one of you is right. Because each one of you held one part of the elephant and thought this is the elephant, but these were different parts of the elephant. In total, the elephant is something else, altogether different from what you have understood. Similarly, dear friends, if we hold on to one branch or one aspect of Islam, and we think this is the be-all and end-all of piety and righteousness in Islam, then we are going to be mistaken altogether. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expounds further on in this ayat of the Quran, what is the proper understanding and concept of virtue and righteousness. Allah ta'ala says, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرْ but piety and righteousness is this, مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. One who has belief in Allah, in the angels of Allah, in the books of Allah, in the day of judgment, it has to do with correction of aqidah and beliefs. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains further on, وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَىٰ. And it is that person who out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are different explanations given by the commentators of the Holy Quran, out of the love of the deed itself, or out of the love of the people who are being served, in any case, it could be any one of these explanations. Let us say he does it out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَآتَ الْمَالِ, he gives his wealth, عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَىٰ, to those who are relatives. وَالْيَتَامَىٰ, the orphans. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, the poor and the indigent. وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ, travelers, musafirs. وَالسَّائِلِينَ, beggars. وَفِي الرِّقَابِ, in the setting free of slaves, etc. Allah has given an example of various avenues in which a person could be giving his charity. Then وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ, he establishes salah and he gives zakat. This has got to do with ibadat. And further on, Allah explains aspects of akhlaqiyat and good character, etc. So deen, righteousness, piety in deen is a comprehensive exercise, dear friends. It's an all-encompassing thing. If a person holds on to one aspect of deen and he feels that this is the be-all and end-all of deen to the neglect of other aspects, then such a person cannot truly be considered as deendar or pious or righteous or virtuous in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One aspect which I would like to speak about and emphasize today, my dear brothers in Islam, is this aspect which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about, that وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَىٰ وَالْيَتَامَىٰ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. One of the important aspects of righteousness is helping and assisting the poor, the needy, the widows, the orphans, those in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beggars, indigent people, musafirs, travelers, etc. This is one aspect of piety and righteousness which to a very great extent has been neglected even by people who are outwardly pious and righteous. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that each and every one of us has our full share in this aspect of deen and Islam as well. Very significant point to note in this particular ayat of the Quran is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about spending one's wealth despite the love of one's wealth, or for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or for the love of these people, to spend one's wealth on these different categories. Allah has spoken about this, and further on Allah speaks about wa aqama salah, establishing of salah, wa ata zakah, and the giving of zakat. So it appears from this particular verse that giving of zakat is one aspect of Islam. helping the poor out, etc., is another aspect of Islam. There are various categories of charities in Islam. One category is to give zakat, and the other category is to help out poor people, etc. The different forms of charity in Islam have been emphasized as well. Today, this is also borne out by one hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained that inna fil mali la haqqan siwa zakat. Besides zakat, Allah has placed other obligations in the wealth of a person. And why I'm mentioning this, dear friends, that today we find, unfortunately, the tendency is growing in our Muslim community that most of the people's charity is confined to giving zakat, and very little of it is allocated for these other various important aspects of charity. The upkeep of the masajid, the upkeeping of Islamic education, the provision for the qabrastans, and various other requirements of the Muslim community. Most of the people's charities these days are confined to zakat, or very major portion is confined to zakat, and very little is allocated for the other branches of welfare work or humanitarian work, etc. This is a situation that needs to change, dear friends. Zakat is an obligation, whether we like it or not, we have to give the zakat. This is a voluntary contribution of our wealth over and above the zakat, purely out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to secure our salvation in the akhirah and to secure tremendous rewards in the akhirah, we give this charity over and above zakat. Let us take another example. We take the example of salah. And from this we will be able to understand that why it is important for us to allocate, if not more than what we give in zakat, at least an equivalent amount in lillah charities, etc., in comparison to what we give in zakat. We take the example of salah. We know there are 5 salahs that are compulsory. If we analyze each one of the salahs, and the part of the salah that is farz, like zakat is farz, salah is farz, but certain rak'ats in the salah are farz. If we take fajr salah, then we see in the fajr salah, dear friends, that there are 4 rak'ats. But only 2 rak'ats out of the 4 are farz. The other 2 are not farz. Take the zuhr salah, 4 rak'ats are farz. There are 12 rak'ats, but 4 are farz. The other 8 are not farz. Asr salah, 8 rak'ats, 4 are farz, the other 4 are not farz. Maghrib salah, 7 rak'ats, 3 are farz, and 4 are not farz. Isha salah, 17 rak'ats, 4 are farz, and the balance, okay, there's 3 witr, let's include that, so let's make it 7, but the balance of the 10 are not farz. But we can see the proportion here, that the nafil aspect is more than the farz aspect of salah. So when it comes to our charities also, dear friends, let it be that our nafil aspect of our charity is more than the farz aspect, than the zakat aspect of our charities. Because nawafil, as it is said by the ulama, is mukammilul fara'iz. The nawafil is there to fulfill any shortcomings in the fara'iz. So that when a person falls short in the requirements of his fara'iz on the day of Qiyamah, it will then be looked, does he have a reserve of nawafil to fulfill the shortfall in the fara'iz? If he has a reserve of nawafil, then insha'Allah al-Aziz, his shortfall will be fulfilled by the nawafil. But if he has no reserves or stocks of nawafil, how is he going to fulfill the fara'iz, the shortcomings in the fara'iz? That is why also, dear friends, to read these different nawafils and to read the sunnat salats, etc., before and after farz is so important. Yet we find, dear friends, that many people come only for one salah in the week, Salatul Jum'ah. Very sad that even for that one salah that they come in the week, they will come in last and go out first. Now, sunnats are completely neglected and ignored, as if they have got no place in Islam, as if they've got no importance in Islam. Many, many youngsters particularly, and even not so many young people, will leave the salah immediately after the farz of Jum'ah. Good amount of time will be spent outside, catching up with the news, talking about trivial and unnecessary, useless, nonsensical issues. And then people will disperse and go home, and there may be 1% or even a fraction of a percent who really go back and read the sunnahs at home or at work or wherever it is. Most of the time the sunnahs are totally ignored. May Allah save us from this. This is a calamity in our deen, dear friends. To ignore the sunnat muakkada of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ulama have stated categorically that such a person, there is a fear that he will be deprived of the intercession and the shafa'at and the sifarish of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah. What a grave warning. Nevertheless, dear friends, coming back to the point that we were making, that we can see the proportion in salah, that we need a great stock of nawafil over and above the faraiz to fulfill any shortcomings. Similarly is the case of zakat. If there are shortcomings in the giving of our zakat, we must have built up sufficient amount of nafil charities to fulfill any shortcomings in the aspect of our zakat, our charities on the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding. My dear friends, so we can see in this ayat of the Holy Quran how much of emphasis Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has placed on helping the poor, supporting the poor, the widows, the orphans, the indigent, the travelers, the musafir, those who are striving in the cause of deen and they don't have sufficient time left to earn a living, etc. Those who have freed themselves to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fully. To support these people is such a great and noble act in Islam, to help them, to assist them, to be sympathetic towards them. Today we find, dear friends, Allah forgive us, that even sympathy for the poor has gone out of the heart of people. If a person hasn't got to give, but still the sympathy for the poor should be in his heart. It is said that in the time of the Bani Israel, there was once a drought, there was a famine, people were starving, people were dying by the hundreds. One poor man walked past a hillock or a hill. He looked at the hill and he said, Allah, if you had given me the means, and this hill had to be converted into a hill of grains, of food, I would have distributed this for your pleasure to all the poor people, so that the lives of many people would have been saved. That was all, a simple intention that he made in his heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved that intention so much, that an angel came and informed him that you will get the sawab of distributing that amount of charity to the people simply on the basis of the intention. The action after that is something much greater. So we can see, my dear brothers in Islam, that to have sympathy for the poor is such an important thing. If a person doesn't have the means also, at least to have sympathy and pity in one's heart for those people who are less endowed than us in terms of resources, etc., how important it is to have the sympathy for the poor. Today we find there's this callousness and hard-heartedness that has come into the hearts of people. People make derogatory statements with regards to the poor, beggars, etc. They say, these people don't deserve anything. Once Mufti Shafi Saab Rahmatullah Ali, the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, was going with his children, who were little children at that time. Of course, they are giants of learning and knowledge today. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani, the ex-judge of Pakistan, and of course, Mufti Rafi Usmani, Damat Barkatum, these great men today, they were children. They narrate this incident that we were going with our father on the streets of Karachi, and some beggars came and they were begging, and Mufti Saab had nothing to give them at that time, or he had some little, a few cents, so he gave it to them. And the children said, Abba, these people, they're not deserving of anything. These people, this is their profession. They are professional beggars. Why do you want to give these people? They don't deserve anything. They are not deserving of anything. Mufti Shafi Saab Rahmatullah Ali corrected the conception in the minds of his children immediately, and he said to them, Oh my children, if you do not want to give charity, it's your prerogative. But do not ever say with regards to anyone that such a person is not deserving. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to apply the same criteria to every one of us, who of us is deserving of any blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Which one of us is deserving? If Allah Ta'ala says, okay, my banda, you feel certain ones of my servants are not deserving, what qualification or criteria of deserving do you have that you also need to be given from my side? Allah is giving us without deserving anything. That is why Allah is called Kareem. Kareem is one who gives to those who are not deserving at all. That is why we call unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his attribute of Ya Kareem, one who gives to those who do not deserve. So my dear friends, to have this type of feeling for the poor, sympathy, solidarity with the poor, it is said one great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he saw the poor people shivering in winter. He didn't have sufficient garments. He had a jersey or a chadar to cover himself. He went home and he took his chadar off. And he started shivering in the cold. His wife asked him, what's wrong with you when Allah has given you a garment to wear? Why do you take it off and want to put yourself through this hardship? He said, if I cannot help these poor people, at least let me share in the suffering that they are going through. My dear friends, this is the spirit and jazbah that has to come into our hearts if we want to be truly classified as people of piety, righteousness and virtue and dindari in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many, many other aspects with regard to this which can be expounded, but due to the limitation of time, we cannot go into the details. But I would like to just summarize and wrap up in the next minute or so, dear friends, that let us take some practical steps in this direction. One is to listen to a bayan and go back home and forget the message, or be happy for a short while and then we go back to square one. But let us go back with some practical aspects which we can start implementing in our lives with immediate effect. Allah give us tawfiq, dear friends. For example, at home, we all buy fruits, etc. What is wrong if we have to buy one, instead of buying one packet of apples or two packets, we buy a little box of apples, and all the poor people that come begging, make the intention of sadqah and charity, give. There are many children that come begging, they are poor children, they are probably orphan children, they are street children. Instead of giving them some money, they may go and use that to buy glue and sniff glue and do other kinds of wrong things. Give them something to eat, buy an extra loaf of bread every day. In this small way, if we start off, when we start off small, Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq. When one small good deed is done, it attracts and draws other good deeds. And from there, Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq that we start establishing soup kitchens for the poor people. We go around with grocery hampers to the doors of the poor people and knock and give. Well, one short incident I want to share with you. Imam Zainul Abideen Rahmatullah Alayhi, the great grandson of Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the grandson of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Imam Zainul Abideen, a man of great piety, great knowledge, great learning, greatest wali of his time. It is said that the day when he passed away, the people realized, many people were waiting, they used to wait for some grocery hampers to be delivered to the door in the dead of the night. 80 families realized on the day that he passed away, that the person who was supporting us in this way was none other than Imam Zainul Abideen Rahmatullah. It was a secret between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to carry these grocery hampers on his own back and walk door to door identifying the homes of the poor people. They knew the homes of the poor people, dear friends. Today we don't allow the poor people to come near our functions. بِيْسَ الطَّعَامُ طَعَامُ الْوَلِيمَةِ يُدْعَى إِلَيْهَا الْأَغْنِيَاءُ وَيُتْرَكُ الْمَسَاكِينُ. The worst form of walima is that walima in which the wealthy and affluent people, the VIPs and the influential people of community are invited very happily, but very few poor people are invited. If they are invited, it is on the basis of tokenism. My dear friends, that food has been condemned by Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. To know the poor, to have an affinity with the poor, to have relationship with the poor, to go to the doors of the poor, like it is mentioned in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that ni'mal amir ala babil faqir, the best of wealthy people are those who go to the doors of the poor people. And they knock at the doors of the poor people and they sympathize with them, they assist them, they help them. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.